Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. This is The Buckmaster Show. It's Thursday, May the 2nd, 2013. We are live each weekday, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice of the news talk stations in Southern Arizona. We are the strongest with the strongest reach all over Southern Arizona. Very proud of that. We live stream our show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and we make it very easy for you to hear our programs anytime, anywhere by visiting buckmastershow.com. That's where the podcast is located. Also, tucsonsentinel.com and tucsoncitizen.com both post our program, and we have links now on the home pages of the Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun, gvnews.com, and on the homepage of blogforarizona.com. On today's show, a newsmaker interview with Clint Bolick, the vice president for litigation for the Phoenix-based Goldwater Institute. Clint is also a senior fellow at the Hoover Institute. He is the co-author with former Florida Governor Jeb Bush on the new book titled Immigration Wars, Forging an American Solution. 30 minutes past the hour, Dr. Mark Sykes joins us. He is head of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute. Then we'll close out the show with the Buckmaster Show legal advisor, attorney Don Luce of Luce Brown & Associates. Don will go over some of the latest legal news headlines in Arizona. If you have a question or comment for us, for Clint Bolick, perhaps you'd like to weigh in on this immigration debate, you can call us on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040. Let's go now to the live line and Phoenix, to the Goldwater Institute and Clint Bolick. Clint, how are you today?
Oh, just terrific, and thanks so much for having me on your show.
Well, it's a pleasure. I want to talk about, first of all, the book, Immigration Wars, Forging an American Solution. This came out as the so-called Gang of Eight hammered out what they believe is the best solution for immigration reform. Let's start with the book. What do you and former Governor Bush advocate in solving this immigration dilemma?
Well, really, we are proposing pretty large solutions. We think that we have really not had a functioning immigration policy for the better part of a half century, and that instead of doing little quick fixes, we really, really need stem-to-stern immigration reform. We also think that the reason why we have seen so much illegal immigration over the past decade is precisely because our immigration policy does not work very well for anybody. So for people who have wanted to become a part of the American family, have wanted to come here to work, there really are very few legal avenues for them to do so. And as a result, that has created a lot of pressure on illegal immigration. And so so we've advocated really going back to scratch and building an immigration policy that meets our needs in the year 2013 rather than the current law, which was originally drafted in the 1950s.
You say that we need immigration reform for two essential reasons, Clint Bolick. Give us those reasons.
Well, first of all, our population is no longer replacing itself. We are actually not producing enough babies in this country to sustain our population, and that's really, really alarming because we now have a lot of people retiring and fewer productive workers who are supporting those benefits. It's unsustainable. Secondly, for the first time in our history, America is facing enormous competition from other countries for immigrants. There is a part of Chile right now called the Chilicon Valley. And the reason for that name is that they attract the best and the brightest entrepreneurs who can come down to Chile and get a visa in about 6 weeks to work on entrepreneurial ideas. Here, The time for an Indian entrepreneur to make it into the United States right now is about 20 years, and many people who want to come to the United States are being turned away. So we have, over the centuries, really one of our claims to being the greatest nation on earth and the most prosperous nation on earth has been that we have been a magnet for the best and the brightest. And we're now having our clocks cleaned by countries like Canada, New Zealand, and even China is recognizing the need to import more immigrants.
You know, I was shocked at this number that you wrote. Among the immigrants lawfully admitted to the United States, Clint Bolick, each year, only 13% receive work or skill-based visas. That's huge.
That is absolutely right. That is absolutely right. It is by far the lowest percentage among any industrialized nation. I think that most Americans probably believe that most of our visas go to people for work purposes, but in fact, only a small fraction of them do. And that doesn't make any sense whatsoever when we're trying to figure out who will contribute to our society. Obviously, work and skills are the main criteria that we ought to look at. We want immigrants who are in the prime of their lives and who can work and who are coming here to work, but only a small fraction actually of legal immigrants come in that way. And so there's little wonder that people who do want to work here often come illegally because there are so few work-based visas.
What do you think of this so-called Gang of Eight? One-fourth of that gang, of course, are the Arizona Senate delegation. What do you think of this this immigration reform program that they've put forward?
Well, I think that it genuinely is a very good start. It is truly a bipartisan bill. There are, despite the fact that Republicans are in the minority on the Senate side, if you had to guess who wrote this bill based on what the bill says, I think most people would come away saying it's probably a Republican bill. There are definitely things in there that Democrats would like, but McCain and Flake and the other Republicans, I think, got some enormous concessions out of the Democratic members of that group. And all in all, I think that it's a good start. It addresses all of the major problems that we have with our current immigration system, not to the extent that Governor Bush and I would like to see, but, for example, it reduces the number of family preference visas, which right now account for two-thirds of all visas, and adds to the welfare rolls more than it adds to the productive folks who come in. It leads to chain migration. It increases the number of high-skill visas. It creates a guest worker program that would allow people to go back and forth over the border legally without becoming citizens, in order to fill many of the jobs that we cannot fill internally. And, of course, it creates all sorts of new border security measures, including biometric identification cards for everyone entering the country, which I think would make us much more secure. So while I think it's far from a perfect bill, it definitely makes positive strides on every one of the problems that we have with the status quo.
We are talking with Clint Bolick of the Goldwater Institute here on the Buckmaster Show. Clint is the Vice President for Litigation for Goldwater and a senior fellow at the Hoover Institute. He's also the co-author with former Florida Governor Jeb Bush, the book titled Immigration Wars, Forging an American Solution. Have a couple of callers on the Buckmaster Show live line. Let's plunge right into it. Clint, we have Linda up first. Go ahead, Linda.
Yes, it is.
Hi, Linda. Go ahead. You're with Clint Bolick.
Yeah, thank you so much for your time and my call. Question, the comment, first of all, I am pro-amnesty. I love immigrants. I really do. I interact with them on a regular basis during my daily travels. The question I have, though, I graduated high school, well, college in the early 80s. That gives you an idea where I'm at in history. What would your people would advocate for American citizens who have been chronically displaced for one reason or another, because there's so many areas where you've got skill gaps, you've got splintered skill sets, and then you got costs of relocating. There's just so many logistical puzzle pieces that weren't even settled in the 1980s with college graduates.
Okay, Clint, do you have a comment for her?
Well, Linda, I'm not exactly sure I know exactly what you're asking, but one of the things that we do in our book that I've never seen a book on immigration do before is we devoted an entire chapter to education. And one of the reasons why we need so many immigrants at the high skill level is that our educational system is simply not producing high-quality graduates. We rank so low among industrialized educations in nations in terms of the quality of our education that it really is killing us economically, and as a result, you know, we only produce about one-third of the STEM graduates, science, technology, engineering, and math, that we need for the jobs in our society. And as a result, we really only have two options there. We either export the jobs or import immigrants who can take those jobs. In the meantime, we have got to improve our educational system so that Americans can fill those jobs and that they have the skills to be flexible and that they are among the best and the brightest along with the immigrants that we're bringing in. I hope that's responsive to your question.
Yeah, I think Linda was talking about skilled workers and the skilled labor workforce, Clint, so I think you made a valiant effort there to answer her question, or at least get very close. Dan and Rich are waiting for us on the Buckmaster Show live line, but Clint, we're going to take a break before we hear from those callers, and we will be back on the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday afternoon, so stay with us.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Westin La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million resort rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and soon a new pool area and enhanced fine dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you, completing more than 500 projects and creating more than 2,500 jobs since its inception in 2006. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Come in, sit down. You must be Megan and Mark. I'm Sharon, your wedding planner.
Hello.
Hi.
So, are you planning a large wedding?
150 guests.
Okay, then. Fairly large. Let me just get online and we can look at some venues.
Wow. Is that dial-up?
You bet. Oh, they keep trying to sell me fast internet, but come on, faster internet. I need that like I need a color monitor. Oh, now, I assume you'll be videotaping your ceremony? Oh, just ignore that. The machine will pick it up.
Your technology says a lot about your business. Cox Business Internet Professional offers speeds 10 times faster than basic DSL. Cox Business also gives you local support 24/7, free online backup and security. Bundle business internet starter and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today and make your business our business. Visit coxbusiness.com. Offer valid until July 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on maximum download speed of Cox Business Internet Professional 15 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second. Other restrictions apply.
Twelve 21 on this Thursday afternoon in Tucson on AM 1030 KVOI. The Voice. My name is Bill Buckmaster. It's the Buckmaster Show. We're talking immigration with Clint Bolick. Mr. Bolick is the Goldwater Institute Vice President for Litigation. He's also a senior fellow at the Hoover Institute. He's the co-author with former Florida Governor Jeb Bush on the book Immigration Wars, Forging an American Solution. Let's go to Dan on the Buckmaster Show. He has a comment about Gang of Eight. Go ahead, Dan. Hello, Dan. You're up next.
Yes, thank you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Speak up a little bit if you would, Dan.
Thank you. For 200 years now, we have established our Congress to enact laws in a regulatory way. Why are we having to go to a Gang of Eight or a Gang of 12? Is our regular Congress and our regular way of passing laws outdated, or we just don't have confidence in our leaders now?
Okay, good question there, Dan. Go ahead, Clint Bolick.
Well, I think that's a great question, and it's sad that that question has to be asked. I think if we look at the last decade or so, maybe even more than that, perhaps going all the way back to the welfare reform of the late 1990s, which may have been the last true bipartisan legislation, maybe No Child Left Behind, probably more recently than that. But the system really has broken down. It has become toxic. And the idea of Republicans and Democrats actually working together on an issue seems to have fallen by the wayside after a couple of centuries of it working exactly that way. So I think of course, in both 2006 and 2007, comprehensive immigration bills fell by the wayside, and the reason for that was that the extremes of both parties assailed the bills and prevented them from coming forward. So I think the idea of the Gang of Eight was that four Republicans and four Democrats would put their heads together and try their very best to come up with a bipartisan solution that actually would both address the problem and have the potential to pass. What I'm really anxious about is what is going to happen in the House. There, I think the prospects are a little dicier, and I was really happy to see this week that three of the Republican members of our House delegation, who only a month ago were saying, until we secure our borders, we are not going to do anything on immigration reform, they came out with an op-ed in the Arizona Republic saying, you know what, we do favor comprehensive immigration reform, border security has to be a part of it, But other aspects like what we were just discussing also have to be a part of it. I was delighted to see that op-ed. I think it's a step in the right direction. And we may actually see, for the first time in perhaps a decade, a genuinely bipartisan bill come out of the United States Congress.
Clint Bolick is with us on the Buckmaster Show, now coming up on 12:25. Rich has been waiting quite a while. Rich, sorry about the wait, but a lot of people want to talk to Clint Bolick about this immigration topic. Rich, go ahead.
Thanks very much. My question is, I sent him an email about this. Marco Rubio has got all these people coming in. They got to wait so many years. They got to pay a fine, et cetera, et cetera. These are the people that are coming forward. What provisions have been made to enforce or find the people that aren't coming forward and are just going to stay under the radar again?
Okay, another good question. Go ahead, Clint Bolick.
Well, over the last several years, the Obama administration has actually deported more illegal immigrants than any previous administration. A lot of people don't realize that. And I think that increasingly the mechanisms are in place to identify illegal immigrants and to deport them. Now that there is the prospect that we'll have a law that that invites people to come out of the shadows and come forward legally, that, of course, will reduce dramatically the number of illegal immigrants who remain. People who don't come out of the shadows probably have a reason not to, and that will allow us to concentrate our limited law enforcement resources on finding those people and making sure that they are deported. At the very same time, this bill will increase our ability to identify folks who are here illegally going forward because of the biometric identification that is going to be required of people who come in. And for the first time, we'll really know exactly who is in our country and who is not being accounted for. So I think that if we pass this bill, it's going to improve our efforts to find those who are here illegally and to take whatever action is necessary.
Marco Rubio says the bill that's in place right now, Clint Bolick, probably will not pass the House, will have to be adjusted because he says people are very suspicious about the willingness of the government to enforce the laws now.
Oh, as well they should be. I think that for a long time there's been a wink and a nod toward enforcing the laws, and there's also been a tremendous amount of pressure on people to come in illegally. So I think that that there is some cynicism that is very, very well deserved. But I think that a bill like this, with some modifications, can pass the House. The House is talking about taking this 13-year path to citizenship and making it, for example, a formal probation. That is, that folks who crossed illegally would admit, would plead guilty to a crime and literally would go on probation like so many other people do when they've committed crimes. If that's what it takes to get a good bill through the House of Representatives, I think that that's the sort of idea we need to explore. But happily, House Republicans seem to be engaged and invested in the effort to come up with a good bill. And I'm reasonably optimistic that a good bill will come out of the House.
I've only got about 30 seconds left. And for those that did not get a chance to ask Clint a question, where can you be reached, Clint Bolick?
Folks can contact me through the Goldwater Institute, through our website. Happy to talk via email, and I really love to hear from people who have read the book and or who will read the book and know what their thoughts are.
And again, the book is available where, Clint Bolick?
It is available pretty much everywhere, but certainly on Amazon and other online distributors.
Thank you for spending a half an hour with us during this noon hour, Clint Bolick. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot. Clint Bolick with the Goldwater Institute. The name of his book is Immigration Wars, Forging an American Solution. It was published, first published in March. The co-author is former Governor Jeb Bush, and they propose what they believe is truly fundamental immigration reform. Coming up now on the bottom of the hour, just about 12:30 in Tucson, Arizona, it's the Buckmaster Show. We will be right back. Stay with us.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The U.S. is calling for North Korea to grant an amnesty for the immediate release of a Korean-American man sentenced to 15 years hard labor for hostile acts against the state. Kenneth Bae is at least the sixth American detained in North Korea since 2009. Defense Secretary Hagel says the Obama administration is rethinking its opposition to arming rebels opposed to the Syrian government. A grand jury in Mississippi will hear the evidence against James Dusky, the man suspected of mailing letters laced with the poison ricin to President Obama and others. And a developing story out of Houston, a report of shots fired at a security checkpoint at Houston's George Bush Intercontinental Airport. On Wall Street, the Dow is up about 130 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com. The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1, 2, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com. Looking for a cool getaway this July? I highly recommend historic Bear Mountain Lodge, just minutes from the picturesque heart of Silver City, New Mexico, only 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Bear Mountain Lodge sits on 178 secluded acres nestled against the immense grandeur of the Gila National Forest. Check out this lovely high country tranquil oasis at BearMountainLodge.com. Once a month, we are always delighted to have Dr. Mark Sykes, CEO and Director of the Planetary Science Institute, celebrating its 41st year as a Tucson-based nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. Dr. Sykes chairs NASA's Small Bodies Assessment Group, and he is very involved in the development of commercial human space flights. He's had an amazing career, and we could probably spend a couple of hours talking about that career, but right now we need to talk about some things like a meteorite that actually, when you were on the show last month, we were talking about that meteorite that exploded over Russia and injured, what, 1,500
people.
I understand you've obtained a couple of samples of that meteorite.
Yes, we've got two small samples that we'll be raffling off at our annual fundraising dinner next week. People can look on our website for details on that. But it's very exciting to have because this came out of a half a megaton explosion about 20 kilometers up in the atmosphere that caused a lot of damage down on the ground. Fortunately, didn't kill anybody.
Yes,
but a lot of flying glass and debris.
Well, people can come to the fundraising dinner and hear you talk, and I believe your talk is titled "The Sky is Falling," so it's very appropriate that you have a couple of pieces of that meteorite. And even if folks can't get to the fundraising dinner, and by the way, the website is psi.edu, the PSI, you and your colleagues are going to start kind of a meteorite classification service.
Yes, we just took delivery of the equipment the other day, and we hope over the coming months to start up a new method of determining what kind of meteorite is it, you know, and in detail, using a process that's far faster than the normal process. So,
The classification of meteorites is fairly complicated.
Well, we're initially going to be starting off with the most common type of asteroids, which are meteorites, which are called ordinary chondrites or stony. You get metallic stuff, you get stony things, and you get dark carbonaceous things. And even within the stony group, there's a range of types. And so we would be able to say exactly whether it's an L chondrite, L5, L4, whatever type of meteorite that it is, so that collectors know what they have.
Dr. Mark Sykes with us on the Buckmaster Show. I want to talk about that picture. I'm sure many of the listeners looked in the Arizona Daily Star and saw that amazing picture from the northern regions of Saturn of this giant storm, which has been going on, I guess, for a couple of years. And the eye of this hurricane, I guess you can call it a hurricane or cyclone in space,
yeah,
is about 1,200 miles wide, and that's of course at least 10 times more than the usual eye of a hurricane here on Earth.
Much larger, bigger than the whole hurricanes. But one of the neat things is that we can look at these other worlds like Saturn and see phenomena like that we recognize, because these phenomena occur on different planets: Earth, Jupiter, Saturn, Neptune. And it shows how, by understanding phenomena on the Earth, it gives us understanding of the way things work elsewhere in the solar system and vice versa.
This is a huge storm, though, isn't it?
Oh yeah, yeah. It's a monster. I don't know if they know how many years it's been going on, but we know these things don't last forever. Not even the Great Red Spot of Jupiter, which has been undergoing changes in recent years.
And why did we not know about this storm until recently?
Well, Saturn's tilted on its axis, and so for recent times, you know, when Cassini first got there, it was the southern part was illuminated, and now it's getting to be summer in the northern hemisphere, and so now we're seeing more of the atmospheric phenomenon up there.
Mars, for the folks, you and colleagues who do research on Mars, you've kind of had a break for about 30 days because I guess Mars has been in a position where information is difficult what goes behind the sun?
Yeah, it's behind the sun. It's a, you know, the environment is such that the signal gets all really noisy. And so for the past month, people have been working hard on taking the data that they've collected and writing papers and trying to figure things out. But now it's coming out again, and the data stream is spiking up, and they got to get back to work. And so, but they're really looking forward to Al McEwen of the University of Arizona, who runs the high-rise instrument, was telling me this morning about how he's really looking forward to getting back to his daily fixes of new high-resolution images from the surface of Mars.
And this happens at least once a year?
Yeah, about a little more frequently than that, or a little less frequent. No, more. I can't refer you. One way or the other, it's not exactly a year.
As I mentioned in your introduction, you have been very involved in the development of commercial human space flights. We saw that Mr. Branson of the Virgin Group, Virgin Airlines, and now the Virgin spacecraft did a test flight, and it went pretty well, I guess.
Yeah, Spaceship Two performed just well, and it's going to be it's opening up a whole new market for space. And in this case, it's space tourism, where people will be able to pay probably a fair price for a ticket
$200,000
to go up above 100 kilometers and see the world as astronauts do. So that'll be very exciting.
Mr. Branson is competing, I guess, with another company that is also doing these commercial space flights.
There are several companies, yeah.
There are more. The others are looking more for researchers, to take researchers up. He's kind of got the tourism end of the business.
He's focusing on the tourism end. The company that PSI is working with, X-Corps, is more of the research workload type of end of the business, where they'll be going up with payloads. It'll just be a two-seater instead of a 10-seater, and we hope to have a PSI operator astronaut for our ATSA suborbital telescope.
And how much time would they have up there?
About 3 to 5 minutes of observations. It's not very long when you're up there, but it's like a sounding rocket, except much cheaper, because we'll be bringing back everything instead of having it fall back.
Dr. Mark Sykes with us on the Buckmaster Show. Dr. Sykes is head of the Planetary Science Institute. He's CEO and director of the PSI. A new planet like a new planet, Earth-like planet, has been discovered, or is there a new name for it?
New name. There was a planet around Alpha Centauri that's about Earth size, and I don't have the original name in front of me, but it was a long technical thing, and so this private company Uwingu decided to have a contest where people could nominate various names. The most popular name turned out to be Albertus. You may have the last word in front of you.
Alpha, let's see that. No, the name is, let's see, is it Uwinga?
No, that's the name of the company.
Oh.
The popular name, I think you may have it here. Unfortunately.
Of the...
I don't have it. Oh, Albertus Alauda. That's it.
There you go.
And I was kind of hoping for Rockots, which
you'll
was
win a quiz contest. Yeah. On that one.
Yeah, I can't go on Jeopardy anytime real soon.
No, I don't think so.
And not without my iPhone. So.
But getting back to these storms like on Saturn, I mean, it's just amazing that people think of hurricanes as just something that happened on Earth. And it's,
well, you get heating of the atmosphere and atmospheric circulation, and storms are common throughout the solar system. Even Mars, which has a much thinner atmosphere, gets these big global storms where the surface becomes almost completely obscured by dust.
Caller who did not want to go on the air but would like to ask Dr. Sykes, are there variations in the sun's output that affect our temperatures here on Earth?
Yes, but they tend to be pretty small. You get sunspots, which a little dark, cooler areas on the surface of the sun, so that's a little less energy that comes in. There's variation because the Earth's orbit isn't perfectly circular. It's a little eccentric. So you know, we'll get a little more or less energy as we move around our orbit. But they're not real dramatic effects.
So we can't blame our first 100-degree temperature on maybe the sun is heating up or something?
No, not that simple.
All right. If you're interested in the two meteorites that are going to be are they auctioned off?
No, we're having a raffle.
Raffle.
So the first two winners can select the prize they want, and I expect the top two will be a 5.5-gram and 1.5-gram sample of this meteorite that exploded over Russia just this last February.
All right. That's going to be at the fundraiser for the Planetary Science Institute. That's coming up, is it Wednesday night?
Wednesday, 6 p.m. over at Westford Look, but you have to get online and
go to psi.edu for more information. Mark Sykes, always a pleasure. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Bill. It's always fun.
All right, we're going to talk. Our legal contributor, Dr. Don Luce, is next with our Arizona legal headlines. Stay with us.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Since 2006, the RTA has completed more than 500 projects, including 180 miles of bikeways and more than 50 bus pullouts. Current projects include La Cañada from Ina to River and the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars have created more than 2,500 road construction jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA is delivering our promise to you.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We are joined in studio with Attorney Don Luce of Luce Brown & Associates, whose offices are here in Tucson, and he has an office in Phoenix. Mr. Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor and author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, of which there will be many more after the Governor Don has finished signing a bunch of them. Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning is his other book, Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Don, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's good to see you. And before we talk about all the new laws that are taking effect, enough that will probably make you now want to go back and do a second revision of your book.
Well, the thing
you've
about
done a first revision, now you would be doing a second one, which actually increased the size of your book about one third.
It did. The thing about Arizona, Bill, and we've talked about this before, is we're never without new laws to talk about and existing laws that are being challenged in the courts. Arizona is really a leader in a lot of these areas, so. Talking about the law is fun, because there's always fun stuff to talk about.
Tom Horn, again in the news, Mr. Horn contending that the limits on contributions, campaign contributions, are illegal. If the court agrees, the claim he directed at campaign committee could be moot. What is this one all about?
Well, this relates to his 2010 bid for attorney general, which election he obviously won because he now is the attorney general of the state of Arizona. But an FBI inquiry found that there may have been illegal coordination between himself and a committee that spent over $500,000 on last-minute television commercials on his behalf. And at the time, there was a law in the books that regulated the amount that a candidate could spend. And the crux of this case is that even though it was from a committee, that there were some illegal coordination aspects, and therefore it was really his money that was being spent and not the committee's. So this case is in Maricopa County, and he, of course, is our attorney general. He is being prosecuted, and this is kind of an interesting part of the case. He's being prosecuted by a county attorney, Bill Montgomery, who represents Maricopa County, is leading the charge in this lawsuit. And Horn's attorneys have said to the judge, look, this is a matter that ought to be prosecuted by the attorney general's office, not by a county attorney, and so therefore you should dismiss this case. Well, Horn is the attorney general, so obviously there's a problem there.
Yeah, I mean, how is someone from his own office going to handle the case?
So what Horn has said in response is, we're not going to concede that the Maricopa County attorney has jurisdiction to prosecute this case, and our office is in obvious conflict, so you ought to let us appoint the prosecutor in this matter. But in addition to which, we think that this law that you're prosecuting us under is unconstitutional because the limit at the time was so low that it's not valid. And in fact, there is some support for that because in 2006, in a case before the U.S. Supreme Court, which struck down Vermont's $200 campaign finance limit on individual donors, Justice Stephen Breyer specifically mentioned Arizona's limit, which was then $760, as one of the seven lowest in the entire country. So, interesting case involving the Maricopa County attorney and the attorney general for the state of Arizona.
Governor Brewer signing a lot of new laws this week, one dealing with criminal trespass.
Yes, and by way of background, because of the issues that the governor's office has had with the legislature regarding the Medicaid issues, she hasn't signed up until this week, she hadn't signed a lot of laws. In fact, there were a lot of bills in the pipeline that either had gotten to her desk and had remained unsigned or just weren't sent to her because she had made it clear that until she had a better working relationship with the Republican leadership, she wasn't inclined to sign a lot of bills into law. But things changed this week, and on Monday, she actually signed a lot of bills which are going to take effect after the legislature recesses for the session. The first one that you pointed out is the criminal trespass law. Under current law, a property owner has to either post a no trespass sign or ask someone to leave before the police can act. Under the new law, which was signed by Governor Brewer on Monday, the owner need only call the police, and the responding officer can make the request on the owner's behalf. And the proponents of this bill said, well, you know what? Some people are just afraid to leave their homes and confront people on their property. I think it makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, if somebody's on somebody else's property, I don't think the onus ought to be on the property owner to go out and, you know, tell the person right. he has to leave. So this one, I think, is good law. Interestingly, the final version of this bill was narrower than the proponent's original proposal. Gail Griffin, who's a Republican, had wanted to make it a crime to remain on someone's property within 100 miles of the Mexican border without specific written permission. That did not pass, but a bill that no longer requires the owner to ask the person to leave did pass.
Don Luce, our legal contributor to the Buckmaster Show, Don Luce of Luce Brown and Associates, joins us usually the first Thursday of every month. The bill that the governor signed preventing Tucson and really other cities, Don Luce, from destroying the so-called buyback guns. Tucson had a very well-publicized one in January, and I think the city of Phoenix has one planned coming up. So the governor has signed legislation aimed specifically at halting this practice of allowing police to destroy guns that people voluntarily surrender through these buyback programs.
Absolutely right, Bill. Tucson was targeted. Tucson had a surrender program pursuant to which it resulted in the collection of 206 weapons. The owners were given a $50 Safeway gift card, and then the guns were destroyed. Under this new legislation, which Governor Brewer signed this week, the city will no longer be able to destroy the weapons that are obtained pursuant to these buyback programs. Instead, the weapons will have to be resold. The policy provides for sale through a federally licensed firearm dealer, so you know you can't just auction it off to the public. But nonetheless, they will have to be sold. And then the proceeds will be earmarked for purposes which benefit the city. Under the current program, it's entirely different. The weapons that are bought back, you know, with these $50 gift cards are destroyed. Now, interestingly, this law does not prevent a gun owner from destroying his or her own weapon. That's legal. It's only preventing the city from destroying the weapons that are bought back from the citizens.
And Phoenix, as I say, has one of these coming up. Now, they may be able to get it in here under the before the law. Even though the governor signs a law, it doesn't mean it takes effect at midnight that day particularly. I mean, it's, what, 90 days or something?
Exactly. Most legislation takes effect on the 91st day after the recess. So the legislature typically recesses late spring, early summer, and a lot of these laws then take effect in the fall. And that's what that's the track that this legislation is on.
Other bills signed, the living wage bill, health and safety audits, teacher evaluations. That was an interesting one. The governor signed, Don Luce, a measure that will make it easier for schools to get rid of teachers who are not performing up to expectation.
Well, exactly. Under current law, districts can put new teachers on probation. This new law also permits the districts to give probationary status to veteran teachers whose evaluations show that they're not doing the job. So it expands the group of teachers that are subject to probationary status and ultimately will allow districts to get rid of non-performing teachers, which I think is a good thing.
Don Luce with us. Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers, now in its second edition. And if this keeps up with the governor signing the bills, there may be a third edition. You really did go back and look at every one of the laws in this book, didn't you?
I did. All 101 laws in the book were reviewed because, to be honest, like 95% of those laws had some change significant enough to to revise the chapter. It's just amazing. It's a very fluid system, and Arizona law constantly changes, and it changes at a rapid rate. So I had a lot of fun doing the project. The second edition is completely up to date, and despite
ready to
these
go. Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers. Don's other book is Estate Planning in Arizona. There's a link to Don Luce on the BuckmasterShow.com website. Don, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Bill. My pleasure.
This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by our friends in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, which is hosting the 18th annual Silver City Blues Festival. It's Memorial Day weekend. That's the 24th, 25th, and 26th. In Silver City, New Mexico, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Lots of places to stay. Find places including Spirit Canyon Lodge and Lake Roberts Motel. You can find out more at southwestnewmexico.org. Our thanks to Culligan. All of our guests, in-studio guests, provided with bottled water from Culligan. Culligan offering really tasty water, and that's the bottom line. Culligan water, it simply tastes better. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. The Friday Focus interview tomorrow, Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry. Have a great afternoon.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.